Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to another edition of Sunday Night. We're live here on the Rapture Ready. We're not Rapture Ready anymore. We are live on the Eagle's Nest Broadcasting Network. So I've been saying that for so long that it's kind of hard to break the habit, but we gotta change with the times. All right, so hey guys. I know this is a new network, and some of you have not come over here yet, so hey, get your friends over here. Get yourself a subscription to our network. We've got some great things going on here. We've got my show here on Sunday night. We've got my daughter's show once a week, and we're going to be covering a lot of issues between the two shows. I might be adding a couple more shows here soon, so pay attention. We get yourself an iTunes subscription here. So let's get on board. All right. It's been an interesting week. I just not paid much attention to the prophecy area. I got a couple things there, but just talk. We've went to a funeral yesterday. Should have gone to two other funerals. Didn't quite make it to those. Sorry, my work schedule makes me work on Saturday, and everybody wants to do their funeral on Saturday. Oh, well. But they say that deaths come in three. Hopefully that is true. My brother's mother-in-law died this week. Sweet lady, county clerk at Van Zandt County, just east of Dallas for many years. She would start chatting with me as soon as my brother announced the engagement, and we've been chatting together ever since. Just a sweet lady. What can I say? I didn't relate too well to her husband, but I related to her wonderfully. But her health has been failing over the last few years, so yeah, good to see her go home to the Lord. J.C. Harder. Neighbor of mine growing up, still neighbor of my parents. He was the head of flight department at Laterno University for many, 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 many years. Kids rode the bus with me to school. Just a great guy overall. But he went home to be with the Lord. They stopped him at Laterno during homecoming this year, and a few people I mentioned it to at work were like, "Ooh, can't believe it! I just saw him." Yeah, I know. You see him one day, they're gone the next. And then my wife's grandmother died. I did have to attend that funeral, but was able to trade some time off to get that done. Was supposed to have today off. Ended up working 3 hours today just to cover the time I missed. So. We got it done. She was just one of those nursery workers, great ladies, hostess extraordinaire. If you came within six blocks of her house and you were hungry, you got fed. Okay, it's one of those kind of ladies. Yeah. Hey, a big thing I remember about her is I would come in, sit down in her kitchen, and she would try to sell every dish that was on the table. I'm a picky eater, so I know what I'm going to eat. But she tried to sell me on everything. That was always great to hear about her. But prophecy. I've got a new candidate for Antichrist. Been watching a few videos on him. Now, when I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying he's a candidate. First John says, in the world there are many antichrists, but there is the antichrist still coming. Okay? The spirit of antichrist is in the world. And a couple reasons that make him a good candidate. First of all, when people look for it, they look for the number 666 someplace around them. Now, the Bible says it's the number of his name. Well, this guy happens to own the building at 666 Fifth Avenue in New York, which has a lot of people curious. So, you know, when you see somebody owning 666 anything, you know, who is he? What is he? What is he? Okay. This guy is, let me look up his name so I don't mess it up. This is okay, his name is Kirshner, and he is the husband of Ivanka Trump. So, yeah, he is a there's interesting things about that. He is an advisor to president, and interesting enough, one of the things he's working on is a Middle East peace agreement. Now, one of the things we're always looking at on Prophecy is who's going to put together the peace agreement, or who is, more importantly, who is going to enforce a peace agreement for a period of 7 years. That's what we're looking for in the Antichrist, okay? Who's going to do it? This guy's trying to. So, somebody to watch. And he is Jewish, so he does have the respect of the Jewish people. You know, will he be able to broker it? Prophecy Club thinks so. Prophecy Club, many years ago, put out I guess his first name is Omar, and they put out a prophecy saying that Omar ushers in peace. We're like, who in the world is Omar? Well, there's Omar Kirshner. So will he do it? Let's watch. We'll watch. I'm not going to promise you anything, okay? I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. I'm a watcher. We're going to watch what goes on here to see if he actually fits the candidate for fits the description the Bible has for the Antichrist. Of course, over the years, I've talked about several people, and as far as that category goes, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Prince Harry have all. No, it's not Harry. The other one have all fallen into that category of he could be it. The, you know, the King of Spain, and now his son also have a claim. Interestingly enough, Bashar al-Assad has an interesting angle toward being the Antichrist. He, you know, the Bible talks about the Antichrist having sharp eyes. Well, Bashar al-Assad is an eye doctor. Okay. So these are all candidates. Who will emerge as the Antichrist? That's going to be the issue. Who will it be? But we got a new one, Omar Kirshner. So somebody to look at. And keep an eye on him because he is not a conservative. And he is very much influential in the Trump administration. Some of the interesting, you know, like where did Trump come up with that idea? Well, that was one of Kirshner's projects, okay? Watch him, see what happens. Okay, we're going to go to the Bible study. And I mentioned the three deaths this week. And, of course, this week is the Church of Smyrna. If you go north of Ephesus in your tour of Asia, the first city you'll come to is Smyrna. Smyrna gets its name because they merchandised in the product myrrh. Now, most of us have heard of myrrh. It was one of the three gifts given to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's myrrh? Myrrh was an expensive spice used in burial. So that's how, that's the important key to the church, is to know this is going to be about death. And the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which is dead and alive forevermore. All right. It may be about death. Remember, they did anoint Jesus with myrrh upon his burial. For those of you who are not familiar with the alternate version of the death of Jesus, most people say he died on Friday, so part of the day Friday was in the grave. Friday night and Saturday, all day Saturday, which was the Sabbath, and then rose on Sunday, the third day. And then the alternate is he went into the grave on Wednesday. Thursday was a high Sabbath or holy Sabbath. Friday was an off day, so they came back and anointed the body with spices on Friday. Saturday was the regular Sabbath. And then Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. So that put him 3 days and three nights in the grave. So actually on that scenario, he would have had to actually rise from the dead right after sunset. So he was actually alive all night long. But just an alternate. I had two preachers that I was under who taught that alternate view. One was Grace Brethren. The other was Independent Baptist. They didn't know each other. One came from California and preached in Texas. The other came from Texas and preached in Colorado. They didn't know each other, but they both gave me that version of the resurrection week. So could be something to it. But the thing was, Jesus was anointed with that myrrh that was given to him at birth. He was born to die. He was dead and is alive forevermore. That talks about Easter, the resurrection. We celebrated that last week, which was a great, great thing to do. I know thy works, thy tribulation, thy poverty. Thou art rich. See, one of the interesting things about the nature of God is weak things of this world to confound the wise. See, he doesn't use the homecoming queen. Even though you may have been a homecoming queen and you're saved, I mean, God bless you, I love you, but that's not what he likes to do. He likes to take that nobody, the one who sat in the back of the room, the one that nobody knew existed, might have some quirks. Nobody liked him. That's who God uses. You look at David. David was the next to last son. He was the one that they didn't bring in because he was out tending the sheep. There's no way David would be king. All right, he is the little boy. I've got six strapping boys older than him. You know, one of those should be king. You know, two of them are in the army. Yeah, they already know the art of war. They bring this little David boy in, and God says, that's the man. why David? David had faith. See, God, David never depended on himself. David had faith as a boy. Now, after he became king, he thought he was something, got himself into some trouble. And somebody pointed out that David had broke all 10 of the 10 commandments. I don't think he ever, he may, I don't know, with his wives, he may have dishonored God and broke the first two commandments with his wives. So I know he broke a lot of the rules as far as, you know, what a king should do. You know, should not accumulate wives or horses. Or, he went and did all those things. Probably even look at Jesus. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we despised him. Isaiah 53 says. He was not somebody to look upon. You look at, you know, you look at Saul. Saul was the guy that you would think should be king. He's handsome. He's debonair. He's tall and good looking. But yet, he failed. He was an epic fail when it came to God. But, you know, reason why God does this is he doesn't want you depending on you. He doesn't want you depending on your riches. He doesn't want you depending on your status. He doesn't want you depending on your suave and debonair and your smooth talking. Yes, I could be a DJ at a, I could be a DJ for a jazz radio station and play some smooth jazz for you. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for somebody who will do the job. Okay? I know that thou art about thy poverty, but thou art rich. You don't know how rich you are. Some of you need to spend some time in the Word of God and figure out how rich you really are. You may not have a single dime in the bank, but guess what? You're rich. You're rich in the mercies of Christ Jesus. Read Ephesians. We talked about Ephesians last week with the book of Ephesus. Warren Wiersbe wrote a book we used in Sunday school back when I was in college called Be Rich, a study in the book of Ephesians. Ooh. I know the blasphemy of them that say that are Jews and are not, but the synagogue of Satan. Now, that's going to come up a few times. What in the world is the synagogue of Satan? Well, we know that those in the Jewish synagogue were not necessarily saved people. Synagogue was just an assembly, kind of like the church is an assembly, but, you know, more of a Jewish word. Synagogue of Satan. What is Satan? The actual definition of Satan is the opposer. The synagogue of those who oppose you. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. Now, when God throws tribulation on you, it's 40 days and 40 nights. Look at the wilderness wanderings. You look at the what Jesus did in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan is given permission to sift you. As he did Job, it's 10 days. Just 10, not 40, 10. One quarter of the time. But he's going to do this to some of you. We've got people here in America that are thrown into prison for their faith. Look at Ken Hovind. Some of you may disagree with what Ken Hovind teaches and does. I don't care what we can argue about what he teaches, okay? We can do that all day long. The thing was, he was thrown in prison for his belief in Jesus Christ and his opposition to what the government thought about it. Oh, yeah, they came up with some charges. And they've got him in prison for it. See, Satan's going to throw you in prison. You know, if he hadn't stuck his neck out there and started teaching these things against the government, it would have never happened. They would have never done it if he hadn't been so successful in his creation videos. So, you know, Martha Stewart. Now, she wasn't necessarily a Christian, but yeah, she did some things the government didn't like, and they threw her into prison. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She's actually doing what the government wants her to do. Fear none of them, okay? Don't be afraid of going to jail. Don't be afraid of being put to death. Don't be afraid of any of that. Thou be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It's pretty simple. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, Rick Warren was asked the other day, what do you do? Not the other day, but about a year or so ago. What do you do if a Muslim comes up to you and says, either cite the hadith, or I'll cut your head off. What's the hadith? Okay, that's where you say that there's only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Okay? And what did Rick Warren say to do? He said, save your skin and do it. Peter. Talk about Peter a little bit. Peter saved his skin. All right? I know you're associated with that guy. No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. Yeah, you were with him, weren't you? No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. All right. That was Peter before the crucifixion. Jesus already knew he was going to do it, okay? But what happens after the resurrection? Jesus came up to him three times and says, Peter, do you love me? And there's a play on words there. I go, Peter, do you agape me? Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. I have a brotherly love for you. He said, then feed my sheep. Okay. Three times he asked that question. Finally he says, do you phileo me? Yeah, I do. Okay. Feed my sheep. I want you to preach. I want you to be my preacher, okay? You're forgiven. See, there's a forgiveness to God. Here he said, if you don't do the sin to begin with, I will give you a crown of life. Yeah, they're going to kill you. Yeah, we look in the world today. Where is the Church of Smyrna? Well, we see it in China. We see it in Egypt. We see it in the Middle East. We even see it some in America, not that much, but we do see it, where there's suffering, where people are getting put in prison, where people are being put to death. There's the Church of Smyrna. The Church has always thrived in tribulation. What was Rwanda? Rwanda was a persecution of the church. The guys that were floating down the river were all born-again Christians. News doesn't talk much about it. But then the group that killed them all were actually Catholics. They had killed the Protestants. They were floating down the river in Rwanda. That was an ugly incident. very ugly. So go through that. I'll give you a crown of life. Now, where does this fit in with? Where does this fit in with the Pauline epistles? This is one of the hard ones. Okay, I basically had to go create the whole list and then come back and fill this one in. Now this is, yeah, even though you put this as the second one to try to draw a line to, Philippians. Why Philippians? Philippians is a short, sweet book. This is a short, sweet letter. Nothing negative. Nothing negative in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 has that great verse about how God humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's a lot of things. I recommend you go back and read Philippians this week. But it's a short, sweet book. Nothing negative in there. And it has that sweet smell of myrrh. Okay? So, with that, that's all we got time for this week. Next week, we're going to look at Pergamos. Pergamos is an interesting place. But, so, be faithful. Don't give in. Be faithful. In fact, there's a guy in Pergamos that was faithful to death. Oh, by the way, who was the Bishop of Smyrna? A guy by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp was an old man in his 80s. He was given the choice. You can either be burned at the stake, or you could deny Christ and live. Polycarp looked at the people and says, look, he's been faithful to me for all these years. I will be faithful to him. Burn me. It's not necessary that I deny him at this point. He had read this book. This book was written specifically to him. All of us can use it, okay? Or at least this little letter. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. You'll hear, there, or in the air.